Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Dr. Grubb, for the prayer. Hey, buddy. It's been a while since he's seen me up preaching. I am honestly, genuinely thrilled to be here with you tonight and to be your education, children, and assimilation pastor. Getting started this week was a huge blessing. I spent a greater part of the week trying to figure out who does what, who teaches what, who runs what's not being run or taught or, you know, organized right now. And to my surprise and my great delight, I found out you guys are doing a pretty good job. You guys are taking care of business here at the church, making sure that different age groups are being taught, making sure that summer programs happened whether I arrived or not. Making sure that the gospel is going forth from this place in an ongoing basis. Tonight, we're going to follow up the song that we just sang about the Trinity, focusing in on the Holy Spirit, specifically in the book of Acts. And I know you guys have just gone through a very lengthy study on Wednesdays, right, with Matthew Young in the book of Acts. And I talked to Matthew this week. He and I got together. We had lunch. Met in my office for a little while, and the Lord had led me to a passage that I preached previously at another church and was just talking to him because I knew about the study in Acts, and I asked him, how well did you cover this section? And so he actually got on his tablet, went back, pulled it up, and the specific ones scripture that we're going to look at tonight, he said, I actually breezed kind of by that and didn't hit it and didn't cover it. And so tonight is an opportunity for us as a body to look back at a section of scripture that to me is key and is paramount to us as Christians. We're going to be in Acts chapter 9 tonight. The book of Acts itself is an exciting book. If you've been here on Wednesday nights, Wednesday mornings, you know that it's a grand adventure of the beginning and the birth of the Christian church. Acts opens as Jesus Christ is exiting the scene. His last words include, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then he's gone. And then Jesus leaves this small group of believers on their own, waiting, anticipating, needing the direction of the Holy Spirit that he has promised. And Acts shows us that the Holy Spirit arrives and that men like Peter listen, they obey, they follow, and the church, it grows, it blossoms, it blooms. Peter is given most of the attention in the beginning of Acts and the birth of the church, but the focus pretty quickly changes from his preaching, his teaching, the miracles that he was doing. And then Luke, the author of Acts, focuses in on a second person. Who is who? Paul. That's right. And so in our memory of the book of Acts, it goes from Peter to Paul. There's a door hinge in the middle. There's a man in sandwich right in between Peter and Paul. And his simple act of obedience is more in line with what I believe God may be calling each and every one of us to do. Not many of us here will be Peter. The rock, the foundation of a movement. Not many of us here in this room will be Paul, taking the gospel into dangerous places, putting our lives on the line, being beaten and imprisoned and run off. But there's a man right in between in the narrative of Acts who I think each and every one of us can find commonality with. After this encounter where Jesus radically changes Saul, the religious leader, the persecutor of Christians, into Paul, the apostle who would preach, who would teach, who would build churches around the world then, there's a man named Ananias. Paul ends up writing most of our New Testament. It is clear and is evident through Acts that God had a plan and a purpose for Paul. But today I want us to take a small picture, a small look at Ananias. God's plan and purpose for Paul included the obedience of Ananias. One of our favorite scripture verses at home, and as a children's pastor here will be, and parents will appreciate it, Ephesians 6:1. Does anybody know Ephesians 6:1? The kids in the room do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, okay? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. One of our children have that on his door. Yeah, he does. For this is right. And we as parents, we read that verse and we say, aha, mind me. Why does God put us in charge of these children? Why does God give them to us and give us blessed scripture verses that reminds them to listen to us? Because it's our job to train them and to teach them, not so that they can live at our house forever and follow our instruction forever, but so they can be prepared one day when their Lord speaks to them and says, go, tell, stay, move, change. And they're equipped and they're ready to say, I hear you and I will obey you. That help? Yeah. In Acts chapter 9, we're going to see that there was a man ready to listen and ready to obey God's purpose for him. Christians should be willing to acknowledge when God speaks, and we've got to be prepared to carry out his purposes. When I was a student in college, my first year, I was a part of what was called Baptist Student Union. We've changed the name a little now. But I was in the Baptist Student Union my first year of college, and I was sure that God had told me I was supposed to go on a mission trip to Korea. And felt like I was supposed to go, was starting to try to figure out how to raise money to do that on the mission trip. And then I met a young lady, not named Emily, named Leah. And I thought, well, maybe God meant later I'm supposed to go to Korea. This is important. She and I were in a serious committed relationship for 1 week, but it was enough time for me to miss the deadline of signing up for this mission trip, for preparing myself to go. And I did not do what I was sure God was telling me to do. What did I miss? I have no clue. What lesson did it take me 10, 20 years to learn that I skipped learning in Korea? I don't know. Did God want me there? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. Did I skip out on it for something trivial? Yes. Yes, I did. So today what I want us to do is make sure that we're ready to listen and to obey. Let's look in Acts chapter 9. We're going to read verses 10 through 19. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he may regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is my chosen instrument to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up, and Saul, becoming Paul, was baptized, and he took food, and he was strengthened. The first thing that we see is that Ananias was ready to hear. I want us to be ready to hear tonight. Let's take just one moment and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, you've given us this moment in time to gather together to sing, worship to you, to let our requests be known before you, to encourage one another with greetings, Lord, be with us now as we look into your scripture and see how your word may change us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Verse 10, you see that Ananias is ready to hear. I believe he was listening for God. There was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And Ananias says, here I am, Lord. A few verses up, this same Lord spoke to Saul on the road. And Saul said, Lord, who are you? Clueless to who this was speaking to him. Ananias says, I know you. I'm here. I'm ready. He was listening for God. Ananias recognized God's voice when he spoke. He was used to hearing from God. He wasn't frightened by unfamiliarity. In scripture, sometimes we see that God sends messengers or speaks to individuals, and they're struck with fear, they're struck with awe, they're struck with wonder, they're confused, they run away. They speak out and say, who are you? Not Ananias. He was used to hearing from God. He wasn't frightened by unfamiliarity. And I believe he was not ashamed of some area of his life. God said your name tonight, called you out. Would your first thought be, oh, he found out about, or he knows about, or he's going to tell me to repent from? Or would it be, yes, Lord, I'm ready. Yes, Lord, I hear you. What's next, God? Did you know that if we are followers of Christ, and Pastor Greg has been talking about discipleship, and he wants us to hone in and gear up towards what does it mean to be a disciple. If we're followers of Christ, we will be led by his Spirit. The whole reason he leaves the Spirit with us is so that God, the Holy Spirit, would indwell us and leave us not in confusion, not in uncertainty, but with direction, with purpose, with clarity in Scripture, so that we would know the things that he has set up for us. Do you believe God speaks to his children? Do you believe I speak to my children? I do. I lead them, I teach them, I correct them. Sometimes I laugh hysterically at them. I teach them as I go. The Holy Spirit within us does the exact same thing. Leads us, corrects us, teaches us. My prayer and my hope is that you have an active relationship with Christ, that you're following the leading of his Holy Spirit, that it hasn't been too terribly long ago since you could say, I feel like God was telling me to do this, go here, speak to this person. I also see he was listening for God, and I believe he was living for God. In his statement, here I am, Lord, he shows us that he's ready to hear. He acknowledges the fact that God is speaking. He lets God know that he is ready to listen to him. When he answers Lord to him, I believe he owned that term and knew that term. He was ready to obey his Savior and his Lord. Verse 11 begins with one of my favorite words in Scripture. It begins with the word so. Verse 11 says, and so the Lord said to him, Ananias admits that he's ready to listen and obey when he speaks back to the Lord and says, here I am. I'm ready. Then God hits him with this assignment. Is your yes out there? God may have a number of things for you to accomplish as a member of this church, as a Christian in this community, possibly as a missionary on the other side of the world. Ananias goes ahead and says, yes, Lord, I'm here. Yes, Lord, I'm ready. Yes, Lord, what do you need? And then God tells him, here's the deal. Is your yes already up on the altar with God? I believe he was ready to hear, and that secondly, he was resistant to harm. 9:11-15 says, and the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Verse 13, but Ananias answered this man, or answered, Lord, are you sure? This is Saul, the one that in Jerusalem was putting people in prison, beating people. And he's been given a sheet of paper that said he can do the same thing here. And you're telling me to pull up to Straight Street, kind of fun, and just bust in and say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, wanted to talk to you. Are you positive? Is it okay to ask God questions? Look at David in the Psalms. Yeah, it's okay. So, God, is this what I heard you say? Are you sure you got this one right? That's what Ananias does. He was resistant to harm. There was a big problem for him. Saul was an absolute bad dude. Christians knew to avoid him. Ananias wanted God to rethink what he was asking him, what he was telling him to do. My question for you, taken from Scripture, are there big problem people or big problem places in your life that if God were to say, go next door and talk to that person or minister to this group of people, that a red flag would come up and you would say, oh, God, are you sure? Are you positive? No. I don't think so. Is it because of their reputation, their status? Is it because of your own comfort? Is it because of your upbringing that people different than you are not people you want to associate with? Is there a reason that you would have not to immediately say, yes, that sounds like a good plan? Can God use you to witness to share with, to meet a need of those big problem people? You bet he can. And he would teach you so much through it. Perhaps it's not a big problem person, but possibly it's a big problem place. What do I mean? Some of you have gone to church here, grown up here, wouldn't think of moving out of Maryville for anything. And God may be saying, I want you to take a job over here. I want you to move your family this direction. I want to send you out away from the place where you're comfortable. Perhaps you're a guest here and you're a member somewhere else, or you're from out of town. And the Lord says, look, I want you to move to Maryville. I want you to look at Madison Avenue as an option to go to church here. Perhaps it's a role or a responsibility you're not ready to take on, something that you don't desire. One of my jobs here at Madison Avenue is to get to know every one of you. Yes, because I love you. Yes, because I like you. Yes, because you need to know everything from Scripture that you can know. But honestly, it's because we need workers to help meet the needs of the people around us and in this church. And so as I find out things about you, I've heard people say, yes, I used to work in the nursery. And I go, really? Writing your name down, you know, that kind of thing. And so perhaps it's a big problem position that you don't want. And you feel like God's saying, I need you to teach. I need you to tell. I need you to take on this task or responsibility. My prayer is that it wouldn't be coercion, Sam, make you sing in the choir, but it would be, I've got a heart and a soul to glorify God through song, and I can't help but sing. I want to lead other people in that type of thing. Have you ever answered back to God, surely you don't mean me, go talk to them, or take on that role? Explore that. Think about that. Pray over that. Even though Ananias saw a big problem, God absolutely had a better plan for him. This better plan included the great purpose that God had for Paul to take the gospel around the known world at the time. Remember, if you're willing to obey God, he will use you to get his work done. My hope and my prayer and my desire is that God would not work around you to accomplish his purposes, but that you would know the joy of him working through you to accomplish what he wants accomplished in this place. I fear many times Christians are guilty of ignoring our big problem people or big problem places, and we miss out on the better plan that God has for us. I'm sure there were things he wanted to teach me from going to Korea. Have I ever been back? Has God ever opened the door and said, you get to go back to Korea? No. I've been 4 or 5 different other countries on different mission trips, different people groups. Had a Korean boy in my dorm this past year and past few years who could have used me saying, man, I loved it when I went to your home country. But I didn't have that to be able to share with him. So don't ignore God if he's talking to you. He may years later want to use something that he brings you through right now. Thankfully, Ananias was a devoted follower of Christ. Listen to verses 16 through 19 one more time. The Lord says to Ananias, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house. After laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me. Saul, murderer of Christians, I am a Christian. Here I am. So that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up and he was baptized. He took food and he was strengthened. He was ready to help. Ananias was. Yes, he was resistant to the harm, but he knew who he served. This morning in the college class, we looked at how not a sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing, caring that that's going on. He would not send you out on a journey. He would not invite you to participate in ministry if he didn't know the struggles and the hard times that you might face there. God has a specific plan for meeting the physical and spiritual needs of people in our community and around our world. That includes the members of Madison Avenue Baptist Church. God has a specific plan for meeting the physical and spiritual needs of people around us. That includes using us to meet those needs. Do you believe God called you to be a member here? At this church, at this time. If so, God called you here for a purpose, not just so that you would sit and be served, though there's a time for that. There's a time for healing and recouping and resting that God provides in his church body. Then there's also a time where he says, here's this need, meet it. It may be fill in the pulpit, jump up here and preach sometime. Hey, Chris. It may be, take care of this baby. Hold this baby while other people are in another room worshiping and praising so a mother can have a moment of rest. It may be, sit, write a card of encouragement, put it in the mail, and nobody in the church knows you're doing it except for the person that received it, and you are an absolute blessing to the members of this church. God desires to use you here in this body. Do you believe he has a plan for how he wants you to serve him through this church? I believe that he does. My prayer is that God doesn't work around any of us, but that we experience together him accomplishing his purposes for Madison Avenue. The results finally were eternal. Paul goes on to preach, to teach, to get beat up, shipwrecked, arrested, put on trial. Part of his testimony near the end of his life includes this Damascus Road experience, this blinding light. Here's how I got saved. His journeys, in the middle of that conversation, Paul includes the name of Ananias. And he says in front of the court, in front of everyone, and a man named Ananias came. You and I, we may not circle the globe shouting the name of Jesus. What if in first grade Sunday school, we take a few Sundays to love on a kid who's absolutely full of energy and hard to handle because God wants that kid to grow up and take the world for him? And it's your obedience, it's your listening, it's your following that pours into the life of this kid. That's what's on the line. Don't miss out on what God has in store for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you and we praise you that you use us, most of us, in ways that are not grand, ways that do not cause acclaim and fame to come our way. You call us to simple obedience, to be ready to hear from you and ready to obey you and follow you. Dear Lord, thank you for Ananias' story, because what it does, it gives me absolute hope and confidence that you might use one like me. Dear Lord, be with this church body. Allow us to reach the nations for Christ and to minister to one another in a Christ-like way on a consistent basis. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Tonight, as the instruments play, you may need to respond to tonight's message. We always want to give you the opportunity to do that. Are you in a place in your life where you're able to hear from the Spirit of God? What do you mean? Have you had that first conversation with God where you say, I don't obey you, I don't follow you, I'm not sure that I love you, but I'm starting to understand that I need you? Have you become a Christian? As a Christian, is your life being lived in such a way that God would speak to you and say, here's the next thing. Here's what I want from you. Here's what I need you to go and do. Let God know tonight that you're ready to listen. You're ready to obey. You may not know what he's calling you to do, but you're okay with it because he's got you. When God speaks, get up. Go do whatever he says.